Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
Be a part of the show. Text Bobby V on the UPS Jobs text line at 437-9680.
We're back. You're typing vociferously over there. Is that the right word? Vociferously? Vehemently? No.
I don't know.
No, vociferously.
Vociferously is right?
I don't know. Whatever. As long as it's an adverb. Just make any adverb.
Can we play? We got a Minaj.
A Minaj!
We got a Minaj we can play at some point. I should have added this. Can we play the Boban soundbite?
For the people who don't know, you need to tell the story. You want to tell it? I'll tell it.
No, by all means, you tell it.
They had a promotion, like a lot of teams do. If a guy misses two free throws in a row, everybody gets something. So this was the Clippers. If you miss two free throws in a row, I think they all got chicken.
Yeah.
And the game really didn't mean anything to either team in the standings.
And it's his, well in hand.
And his team, yeah, his team won and was well in the lead. So he got fouled and he went to the line. He was trying to get their attention to tell them, I'm going to get you all chicken.
Well, he missed the first one.
I know, and so then he called their attention and said, because they all started cheering and screaming. And he was like, oh, okay, I see what's going on. They want free chicken, so I'll help them. So you can see the second one, he misses, he barely hit the rim.
Yeah.
And they all cheered and screamed and he was a hero. And so,
and then it's awesome because he shoots it and then puts the finger up like he just made a shot. It's like in, and it clanks it off the side. But that was what he was trying to do.
Yeah.
And everybody goes
that
nuts.
That was funny.
Boban is a national treasure. Also has the same birthday as me. He's just a year older.
Oh,
so he,
he's also appreciably taller.
7'4". Yeah, he's a big guy.
And he's in the John Wick movie.
Yeah, that's true. He is. Also, good point. By the way, there's.
Does he play Larry?
Huh? No. It's like, what are you talking about?
What, to bring the conversation to a screeching halt?
There's this thing I saw on Facebook, by the way. It's honestly, it looks like two pretty attractive stewardesses eating pizza. But it's one of those things where if you stare at it, you can see Nicolas Cage's face.
Oh, there's a whole bunch of websites like that. I don't know. It almost looks like it's staged, but I guess it's not. Some guy took a picture, and I swear... I know it's always Jesus, but it does. It looks just like Jesus. It's unbelievable.
Well, I didn't see Nicolas Cage, but I saw John Wick in this thing.
Did
I just
you really?
Shared it on Facebook. Yeah.
Have you ever seen the website Food That Looks Like People's Faces?
I have not.
It's not just food. I'm sorry. It's things in everyday life that look like faces.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I have seen that.
Yeah.
I have seen that.
It's amazing
that. That's
how
awesome.
Many things if you see. Like, I always, ever since I was a little kid, there's no question the front of cars always look like.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that was easy. That's to make that movie. They all look like faces.
Right.
The two headlights, two eyes. There's no good grill.
The grill's
the mouth.
Yeah.
There's no question about that.
What's that? What's the happiest looking car? Is it Volkswagen Beetle?
No, he's got two little too round, you know?
He does have the cute little round bug eyes, though.
It's true. That's a good question. I don't know what's a happy looking car face. It sounds like a Dick Tracy villain. Car face.
What
do you want to play here? Oh, you want to play Beaumont's comments? Does he have it?
No, it's just the play by play of it because I didn't put this in the Minaj.
Oh.
And I think they...
Does he have the play-by-play?
Yeah, you got it. Yeah, go ahead and play that, Tanner, if you don't mind.
Cubs are getting excited here. There might potentially be some free chicken on the board if he misses the second free throw.
Oh, man, free chicken on the board.
Yeah, so that's why the fans are getting a little frothy.
Oh, they're pointing to... The Beaumont's playing with the crowd. Say, you want chicken?
Here's your job.
No, he gave him chicken. He's a man of the people. He's a man of the people.
He did that on purpose.
He did. He gave out free chicken.
He's a man.
Getting
He's a man. He's a man of the people.
He's a man
he
of the
gave
people.
Them chicken. I've worked with Paul Rogers for 20 years. I've done 500 games for ESPN. I have never uttered that sentence.
He's a man of the people.
Or he gave them chicken.
He gave them chicken.
Those are two lines that have never been uttered before.
Good for Boban.
Oh, that's
He's
great.
Awesome.
That was great. The NBA playoffs get started today. We've got to talk about that. But let's do a menage a montage here. And I don't understand how this always happens, but yet it does.
No. Presented by Spring Street, by the way. Trivia tonight, starting at 7 o'clock. Cash prizes to the top three teams.
Did
Spring
you know
Street Bar and Grill.
Was texted to us earlier. Did you know that the first television show with a husband and wife slept in the same bed?
The Brady Bunch.
Flintstones.
Really?
Yep.
See you. See you, Fred.
Fred and Will.
Yabba dabba doing it.
Nice. That was good.
Thank you.
Doing it. That was damned entertaining. All right. Tee it up, shall we? Here we go.
When Mitch called me and talked to me about being the head coach here at Kentucky, I understand the assignment. We are here to win banners.
In terms of attention, we've never, ever, ever seen anything like this.
Flight to right, Selke going back. He's at the track, and it's gone! McCoy, good day so far. And he goes opposite way. Wind is blowing, and Ryan McCoy adds to the high home run total for this series. His third in two games. Louisville now down 7.
Luta principal de hoje. Você em todo o Brasil curtindo com a gente o maior, melhor e mais interessante evento de MMA do planeta. Não perde a concentração!
Hidden talent. Just in the hopes that Lin-Manuel, that you're watching.
I'm going to get a scholarship to King's College. I probably shouldn't brag, but Dad got amazed and astonished. The problem is I got a lot of brains, but no polish. I got to holler just to be heard with every word. I drop knowledge. I'm a diamond in the rough. A shiny piece of coal, everybody.
Scotty Scheffler, putter back and in. Scotty, he's done it again. Scotty Scheffler, for the second time in 3 years, is the Masters champion.
It's hard to put into words how special this is. It's been a long week, a grind of a week. The golf course was so challenging, and to be sitting here wearing this jacket again and getting to take it home is extremely special.
Shot clock down to 6. Brunson brings it right wing, picked up by White. 3 seconds to shoot, out to DiVincenzo. His three is good!
Number 5 for Dante DiVincenzo, and the Knicks have a 2-point lead.
Middleton closed off by Bogner. He gets it over to Crowder. And there's another turnover. This time, Paul Anthony. The left-handed punch. 20-point lead. It's all working. Timeout, Milwaukee.
To Evangelista on the right wing. Low right, O'Reilly off to the side, and the score. 1:37 in the third period, and there are some hats going down on the ice to celebrate Philip Forsberg's hat trick.
Anderson with a high hold, and to the plate he comes. Rip left center field, and that's going to find grass. At least 2 will score. India comes to the plate. On to third is Benson, and it is 10-2 Reds. And that is the third and fourth RBI of the day for Christian Encarnacion Strand.
Hooray.
Hooray.
I have a hard time remembering all those. We heard Mark Pope rapping, which I did not know he did that.
I didn't know that either.
That was strong. I, you know what? He's got the balls then to coach at UK. If you can stand up there
and just start rapping. Shout out to Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Yeah, he was just letting it rip.
That was impressive. I think I forgot to put the both knockouts in from the UFC.
Was that was the Spanish call.
It was the Portuguese call. Of who is it, Pereira?
Yeah.
Knocking Otan. Out. Who did he knock out?
Jamal Hill.
Now, I saw the highlight.
Jamal Hill, the woman who used to work for SportsCenter.
Jamal Hill, that's true.
That kind of matches that.
Tanner, you describe what happened, because it was kind of cool.
Jamal Hill threw a leg kick, and it kind of hit Pereira in the upper thigh area. So Herb Dean, the ref, thought it was a nut shot. So he was calls time, and he's like, all right. And then Pereira, he literally just goes, no, and just shields him away. And Herb Dean's all right. Next thing, left hook, knocks out the guy, finishes
the guy who
got
hit in the nuts one.
Yes. Well, he didn't get hit in the nuts, or they're just made
the
of a stone.
Heroic level of his victory.
And then he has one of the most savage celebrations ever. He knocks the guy out. And he does the the Italian kid. He does the little the guy's humped over on the ground, and he just kind of gestures to him there's your guy. And he does the little okay. And then walks away. But the whole sequence was amazing, because he's laser focused on Hill, and the ref comes in and he goes, no. He's like, I'm good. Doesn't even look at the ref, just politely is no, let me cook, and then hits him with a left hand, which he's known for, and just absolutely crumples this guy.
And what was the other? Was that the one that Dina was talking about?
That was probably the main event. Gaethje and...
No. Pereira and Hill was the main event.
Okay.
Co-main event was Zhang Weili, and then I don't even want to try and attempt the other Chinese.
But the knockout was
Gaethje versus Holloway. So
yeah.
Holloway, if you've watched him, it's a very known thing when it comes down to the wire and it's 10 seconds left. He always goes. He just points down to the ground, and then it's happened three times in his career where they just go brawling, no defense at all, and every time he's come out on top. In this one, he knocked out Gaethje flat on his face with a second left. And
why does the opponent do that? If the guy started pointing to the ground, I would just back up and look at him and say...
Well, because Gaethje, no matter what, was going to lose by decision, so he had to go out.
Give myself brain damage.
Yeah.
That's a good trade.
That's the only way.
I've been in that situation in high school. We were losing by 15 or something minutes ago, so I just ran headlong into the stanchion.
How did that work out for you?
Why do you think I'm in radio? Texas says he definitely got hit in the nuts.
But it evidently didn't affect him,
though. It did not affect him one bit.
You could hear the foot on the cup.
Do they wear cups?
Oh, yeah. My God. Yes. Of course they do.
Okay.
It doesn't help much.
I was going to say. I was like, if you...
There have been a few times where the guys have just been on the ground for 4 minutes.
Oh.
But yeah, Connecticut, after winning a national championship, they get another one with... the heavyweight, or light heavyweight.
I just so love this. I'm sorry, Texter, you're going to get so mad at me. I mean, you didn't do it, but a guy sent a text about me earlier and said, I know, and then listed all these facts that weren't true about me. He wasn't even trying to rip me. It was just so ridiculously inaccurate. This one says, how come you didn't use Paul Rogers' call on the home run call? You know, the classic grass track wall.
Paul Rogers
doesn't do baseball. I'm going to out Patino here a little bit. Paul was this. I'm sorry, because we love Rick, but these are the kind of things we loved about him. He was coming to the football game. Obviously, Paul was at the football game because he's working. So he gets in to the elevator, and there's Patino. And Rick says, so I just want to tell you, I really enjoyed your call of the game. The football game.
Right.
And so Paul's feeling like $1 million. He runs into Rick about 2 weeks later, and Rick says, Paul, do you do the football games?
Oops.
I was being polite. Nice. I was looking at it that way. So what else?
I did not have Sean Moth. I didn't have his phone, his call, because
who's he? Hey,
we love our boy Sean. He's fantastic. But I didn't have his home run call saved anywhere. So those were the first ones that we could find.
Track wall.
That ball is gone. One of the best. Oh, that is a great home run call.
The guy pitching yesterday, by the way, for the Columbus Clippers, was
the Yankees farm team.
I'm glad they lost, because he was really annoying the crap out of me.
Okay,
he was. It was an extra inning game. It still took only less than 3 hours, which is great. But it would have been much faster if this jackwad. I'm sorry, he's the UVA of pitchers.
Okay,
he wouldn't release.
Because they
the
have
ball.
A shot clock.
He wouldn't release the ball until the clock was turning from 1-0. It was like, it was, I mean, he actually got two pitch violations. One in extra innings, which is a really stupid time to waste a ball. It started in that bat. He put himself in the hole. He's behind 1-0, and he wound up losing the game on a wild pitch. And the bats won with the proverbial W-O-W-P.
Walk-off wild pitch?
Yes. So, beautiful day at the park. Went, really enjoyed it.
First, the pictures look
first
great.
Baseball game I've been to in probably 4 years, so it was fantastic, and I intend to be at many more.
Well, I should have put a Blues highlight in there.
How did you not put a Blues highlight?
That was silly of me.
They didn't make the playoffs, though, did they?
No, they didn't. They had to basically win the weekend, and the Vegas Golden Knights basically had to lose the
out.
Weekend.
They didn't. Yeah, and the Kraken didn't either, right?
No, the Kraken, I think, were 11th in the West, and
so you watched
the Blues
two
were like
teams
ninth.
Just playing out the string,
yeah. And the
but
Blues
they entertained
won.
You, though.
They won 4-1. It was a good
the
game.
The woman in the clip saying, well, we're in a new era, she talk. Is that the WNBA commissioner?
Yeah, it's Rebecca Lobo talking about
Oh, that's
about
Rebecca
Caitlin
Lobo.
Clark.
I recognize her voice, normally. I'm sorry I didn't hear that.
Which of the UFC guys is from Connecticut, by the way, Tanner?
Oh, Piera, but he's from Brazil, but he trains in Bethel.
Oh, okay. Nice.
So it's always the funniest thing where I'm like, oh, yeah, because he's an Aztec. Like, he comes out dressed up like an Aztec, and it's like fighting out
like
of Bethel, Connecticut.
San Diego State?
Yes.
No, he's actually
All right, so
an
what
Aztec.
Else did we hear there? We heard a guy who beat the Bucks. What was that?
Paul Anthony had a nice dunk. We heard Jalen Brunson.
It's Cole Anthony.
Cole Anthony.
This is what I started to say. Why is it that when your teams are good, they're both good at the same time, or they both suck at the same time? Now, the Rangers, are they still in the number one seed, or they're two seed, whatever? I wouldn't mind them being a two seed, because the one seed never wins the Stanley Cup.
The President's Cup trophy. Yeah,
I know.
The curse. Yeah, we don't want that.
But there, and the Knicks President's got the two trophy. Seed in the East, and without Randall.
Yeah.
Fantastic. So that was exciting.
A nice little assist from Brunson to Dante DiVincenzo. Yeah, that was the Philip Forsberg hat trick. Was our hockey clip in there for the Preds?
They still have games to go, though. The NHL still has, I think, one regular season game left. The NBA is done, kaput, finished. The playoffs start tonight. And what else was in that thing that we need to address? Anything?
Two UFC knockouts, and Christian Encarnacion.
Oh, the Reds. Yeah.
Yeah, the Reds.
They're damn competitive. Nice. Reds are currently at 9-6, right? How about that?
Yeah, not bad, right?
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back, and I got to do a live read, and then we're going to do another 45 minutes of radio, and you guys are going to keep texting us, and we're going to go from there. ESPN 680, 105.7.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
More V-Show with Bob Valvano is now, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Sports Radio here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Just a few minutes, we'll get into who projects to be the third string tackle for both the Cards and the Cats. Certainly can't want to miss that discussion. Not to mention who's going to be probably one of the guys to be taken in the seventh or eighth round of the upcoming NFL draft. That's certainly
that's not what we do at all.
Worlds.
That's not what we do at all on the show.
Not on our show.
Yeah, so what are you talking about?
Yeah, because I'm trying to grow. If you're going to do sports radio, you should do it right. And that's what we first
we don't do it right.
No, I know, that's the point. So we're going to argue about heads or tails so that we can argue, let the phones light up so we can make controversy over nothing. And then we will talk about things no one can possibly know, like how well Mark Pope's going to do or Pat Kelsey's going to do. And then we'll talk about obscure minutiae that will make us sound like we really are dialed into the rosters of teams that we're not. Nor,
right.
Nor do I don't really care who the third string tackle is. Sorry.
Or
we could do what?
We could put a bow on the Masters with our friend Bob Herrick.
Oh, that sounds better to me. Let's do that, want to?
I like that plan.
Hey, Bob Herrick, thanks for joining us, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
I want to talk to you about your book in a minute, with good reason. It's called Drive, The Lasting Legacy of Tiger Woods. That's going to be very, very interesting. But let's talk about this Scottie Scheffler fellow. Are we going to start having to talk about him among the greats if he keeps this up? Two Masters now? Where do you think his future lies?
I think there's probably a more body of work that needs to occur before we do that, but it's certainly really impressive to this point. I mean, 9 wins in 26 months, that's kind of Tiger territory, frankly. And he really should have added more last year. He had a historic scoring average year, ball striking, all those stats associated with hitting greens and approach to greens and had a poor putting year and it cost him. And he's figured something out on the greens and now it's kind of all come together. He's won 3 of his last 4 tournaments. And he's not shot a score over par all year.
Wow.
Not one.
That's
amazing. And when he shot the lone score of par, which was in Houston a couple weeks ago, he missed like a 3-foot putt on the last green to shoot par. So it's just been, an amazing run. And, going into the week, his odds were, they're the type of odds that you say, you can't even bet on the guy because it's not worth it. And yet he did it anyway. And when things got tough yesterday, everybody else around him kind of wilted. And maybe that's unfair, but everybody had a bad hole. Everybody had a double. The closest challengers all had a double bogey. And you're just going to have a hard time getting over that, in the last round of a major.
It's this is what I'm intrigued by, and I think it's worth a comment from you. I mean, the guy shot 11 under. And the next closest player was 4 shots behind him. And then the rest of the field, obviously, he was alone in second at -7. And then the rest of the field even further back. Given the nature of the pro golf tour right now, I don't know, that's like a 25-point win on the basketball court. He's stomping these people. That's what – there's so many different ways to gauge his dominance. One is the one you mentioned, no scores over par. The other is how many victories he's had. But I'm looking at this on a golf course that, Ty Hatton sounded like he was going to have a nervous breakdown over this golf course, and this guy just went around his business like he was playing in some, weekly tour event at 11 under par. What's the most – what do you find most impressive about where he is right now in the landscape?
Yeah, your basketball analogy, it was sort of like if two teams were tied with 3 minutes to go and won by 25.
That's true, too.
I mean, as late as the 6th hole, there was 4 guys tied to the lead. And even going to 9, it was only a 1 shot. So, it was setting up to be a phenomenal back 9, like really, really tense. And instead, he, stepped down the gas and everybody else kind of backed up. I think that's probably the impressive thing is he didn't, he got ahead and he didn't play defensive. He went for the green and two at 13, actually had an eagle putt and settled for an easy birdie. On 14, he saw a pin he thought he could go at. He wasn't worried about going for the middle of the green. He went right at it and had a tap in. You know, on 15, he went for the green. He ended up making par, but, you know, he wasn't worried about laying up or hitting it in the water. You know, he just he kept pushing forward and he extended the lead. And that's not always what guys do when they get a lead on the back nine. It's your tendency might be to protect. So that to me suggests the guy has amazing confidence in himself. You know, he's not afraid, and that's a little bit scary because everybody else was a little bit. You know, Hebert, who's a great player, he's playing in his first major. You know, he made a big mistake on 11. He did what Ben Hogan said you can never do, which is, you know, his line was, you know, if you see me on the green on 11, it's a mistake. I mean, I don't think you purposely go away from the green, but you don't do anything that's going to put you in the water. And he did, and it killed him. You know, and yet he made a couple birdies coming in to try to make it close. You know, Homa got an unlucky break. Morikawa admitted, I got greedy on the ninth hole, and he tugged his approach into a bunker. He was right there with Scheffler with nine holes to play, and he made double, left one in a bunker. You know, that was a three-shot swing at that point. So, but again, Scheffler gets the lead, made a bogey at 11, didn't let it bother him. He just kept pushing forward. And got the lead even bigger so that he could have it pretty easy coming in.
Yeah. Bob Harrig's with us. He's a golf writer for Sports Illustrated. You can find him on the artist formerly known as Twitter, at his name, Bob Harrig, H-A-R-I-G. He's also the author of a book called Drive, The Lasting Legacy of Tiger Woods, which I shall read very shortly. I have not read it yet, in all honesty, but I'm looking forward to it. I'm on my kind of biography kick all over the map, showbiz, politics, statesmanship more than politics, certainly athletes, so I'll look forward to reading this. But I'm curious what your make is of what we've seen him when he's played himself out of tournaments in the past. He's kind of withdrawn, and I'm not suggesting he was faking it. God knows the guy's been through the ringer in terms of his health, so he certainly can be excused for walking away when some of his subpar performances were traceable to his bad health. But this one, I believe I've got this right, Bob, of all the people who made the cut, he finished last, didn't break 80 in the third round. But yet the book that you talk about is the lasting legacy of Tiger Woods and his victory, his comeback win 5 years ago at the Masters. From there till now, where is he in his career? I mean, is he going to keep playing? Is he? You saw the first 2 days, and you'd say, well, you know, if he gets going, he might have a chance to win again. But I remember Jack Nicklaus saying, I'll never play if I don't think I have a chance to win. I can't imagine Tiger's wired very differently. So what do you make of where he is and the last place finish in this event?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, it was tough to see him go through that on Saturday, frankly. I think the weekend sort of epitomized the last 10 years. You know, Thursday and Friday were the Tiger of 2018-19. You know, the guy who hadn't played but still had this amazing resiliency and fought his way back to some really great performances. Obviously, he won three times in that stretch. He won the Masters, his 15th major, just 2 years after spinal fusion surgery. That was you know, Tiger fighting back. His drive is willpower. Saturday and Sunday was more of the 2014 to 17 time frame when he just couldn't stay healthy. You know, he would try to gear up for a tournament, and then, you know, maybe he'd hit some good shots or there'd be some good moments, and then the back would let him down. Mm-hmm. And I really think this weekend he did not say. We tried to ask him. We had so few cracks at him. He didn't say what it was. He wouldn't admit which was what was bothering him, but Saturday really appeared to be his back. There was a swing he took on the ninth hole, the second shot, where he winced on his approach shot, and I thought he might withdraw right there. I mean, he didn't look good. It was crazy. The fifth hole, which Tiger bogeyed that hole all four rounds in 2019, the year he won, it's been a nemesis hole for him over the years. I looked it up. He had not made a birdie on that hole since 2013. And he birdied it on Saturday. It's like, okay, wow, he's going to like maybe get back into this thing. And then the very next hole, he started playing poorly. Bogey at six, made a double at seven, like a bad drive. He came out of it, bad pitch. Eight, bad drive again. First time he's ever double bogeyed number eight. You know, and so you're like, something's amiss. He's not, something happened. I think there might have been a swing or a tweak, and his back might have spasmed, and then you're going to flinch. You know, you're going to have a hard time being committed to the shots. And it led to 82. You know, it's only the fifth time in his career he shot in the 80s. There's a lot of things about Saturday and Sunday that sort of are another reminder of just how great he was. You know, it's his worst 72-hole score ever. It's only the third time he's finished last in the tournament once he made the cut. You know, so there's a lot of dubious firsts. But again, like, it took this long for some of these things to happen, and they happened for a reason. He's hurting. And yet he talked afterward yesterday, like, I'm going to get in the gym. I'm going to try to get fit. I want to try to get better. He wants to try to play the remaining majors. I want to scout the courses. You know, I don't know if this is, you know, dreamland or if he feels like he can get past this, what he has to prove. I guess I would also say he's earned the right to do it if he wants.
Yeah, did he, as I said, I haven't read the book yet. Did he talk to you for the book? Did he cooperate? Did you do an interview with him? What was his involvement with the book? Any at all?
No, not directly, no. I mean, and to be honest, you know, look, no knock on him, but that was never going to be the case. He wouldn't, you know, any of the books that have been done on him, unless he's involved in it financially, he's not doing it, you know, and that's fine. I mean, it's really, I've done countless interviews with him over the years, and I reference a lot of that material in the book from the various times I talked to him or press conferences or whatever. But really, it was about talking to others about him. You know, those who were there, those who saw what he went through, those who, you know, played with him in that Masters in 19 or the 2008 U.S. Open that he won, or even the 97 Masters. You know, it's I use that as an example of him, you know, another time where he fought back. It doesn't seem like it. He won by 12, but, you know, he shot 40 for his first nine holes. You know, he shot 40 yesterday on the first nine holes. You know, and, well, in 1997 he shot 40, and that might have destroyed some people. He had a lot of hype at that time. 21 years old, he was sort of a pre-tournament favorite. It was really weird that he would be. He was only playing in his third Masters and his first major as a pro, and all this attention. He goes out and shoots 40, looks bad. And you could fall apart there. Instead, he figured it out somehow. He shot 30 on the back. Mm. You know, like he found something on the 10th tee, and he turned it around and shot 70 and ended up going on to win by 12. I mean, that's just sort of, that epitomizes Tiger. Like he never let failure, like, depress him or get him down. He found a way to come back from it. And so I have a sense that, you know, if he's able physically, he's going to be motivated to do better in Louisville at the PGA Championship.
Is, you know, at some point, guys would like to play forever, and people don't associate golf as much of a, you know, physically demanding sport as, you know, basketball or some of the others. But at some point, your body just won't let you do it. Is he at that point where, I mean, he can't seem to get through 72 holes anymore? Or has he made peace with the fact it's going to be a battle and he's going to have some bumps along the way, but he's willing to endure it to just play in, I guess, the majors and one or two events elsewhere, maybe? Is that where he is? I mean, is there a chance he just walks away? Where is he in that regard?
Yeah, I you know, I think we all wonder that. Like, you hear these things, he should just retire. I mean, golfers don't retire. People retire to play golf, right? I mean,
true.
He's still got the possibility of playing Champions Tour golf, where he'd have the usage of a cart. I sort of argued in the book that could be good for him. you know, Tiger's still got great skills, talent. He's an elite iron player. It's just that he physically can't get to the ball. And then if these back things are a problem again, you know, that unless there's some remedy there, you know, he had, people forget that after this spinal fusion, which is, it fuses the vertebrae. Like, the disc issue that was giving him so much problems, so many problems, is alleviated. It's gone. It's not there anymore. But they did another microdiscectomy, which is basically the shaving back of a herniated disc or removal of it. We don't know. But that means that occurred higher up on the spine from where the fusion was. So, like, that's probably going to continue to be an issue for him. I know way more about this stuff than I ever thought I would.
I was going to say, listen to you. I thought maybe you were joining us from medical school. That's impressive.
I don't even need to look up microdiscectomy when I try to spell it. I typed it so many times. So, you know, I mean, the bottom line is those things aren't. If you or I had that done, it might help us, right? But if we're going to try to swing a golf club 180 miles an hour, it's eventually gonna you know, probably not hold up.
Mm.
And I don't know how much you watch, but I mean, Tiger's power the ball out there. He's mm-hmm. got plenty of upper body strength. He's using his upper body to get the ball out there, and he gets it a mile still. Irons are a mile in the air. His short game was great on Thursday and Friday. Those conditions on Friday were unbelievably difficult. Only one guy broke 70. Tiger shot 72. It was, you know, it won't go down in the record books, but it was an all-time great effort. He made the cut by five. Mm. It wasn't like he was close. He made it by five.
Right.
And then, you know, but then it all fell apart, but not because the game was awful, but his body broke down on him Saturday, and he just couldn't do it. And that's the sad part, because we saw how good he was Friday, and then a day later, it was gone.
It's, you know, I would love it as a fan. I really don't care on the Champions Tour, especially in Tiger's case where he's been so physically compromised, if they let him ride a cart. Do you think he'd play riding a cart, though? Something tells me he wouldn't do that.
He would on the Champions Tour because it's allowed there. He could, on the regular tour, he could apply for use of one via the Americans with Disabilities Act.
No, he's not doing that. But you think he'd do it on the Champions Tour? You think he would?
Yeah, he would. He's even joked about it. He's talked about when he turns 50, hey, you know, I'm only 2 years away from getting a buggy, meaning a golf cart. You know, and I think that because everybody else is doing it, he'd be okay with it. And I actually think that, like, in a weird way, if he's healthy enough otherwise, it would help him. Like, let's say he played. The problem with the Masters was is he hasn't played. He can't get competitive. He's not working on his game. Let's say 3 weeks or 2 weeks before the Masters, he plays a Champions Tour event. So he doesn't have to put the stress on his body by walking. But he gets the competition in. He gets the juices flowing. He's inside the ropes. He's competing. He gets nervous. He has to hit chip shots and iron shots under pressure. Yes, it's not the same as regular tour golf, but he's still competing. Nicklaus did this, you know, back when he first turned 50. And then Tiger goes out and plays at the Masters where he does have to walk, but he won't have gone through all the stress of walking a tournament just a couple weeks before, which now he kind of needs to recover from. So maybe that's his ticket to being a little bit sharper when he shows up for these big tournaments. Because that's the problem. It's hard to be sharp, you know. I made the comment, or I might have written, you know, Tiger shows up at the Masters, and he hasn't played since February when he withdrew due to illness at the Genesis. Since that time, Scottie Scheffler not only played, but he won two tournaments, and he missed a playoff in another by one.
Right.
I mean, that guy put himself in the heat. How are you supposed to compete with that? You know, I mean, it's just really difficult what he's trying to do right now. People have talked about he should play some other events. Well, he wants to play the biggest ones, and it's hard for him to play the ones in between because there's not enough time to sort of decompress and then, you know, re-amp back up before the next one.
It makes sense. It really does. It'll be interesting, and it'll be great for the Champions Tour, boy. Whatever those events are, they will be They can't possibly print enough tickets. I don't think there's any question about that. So that'll be interesting, to say the least. Drive is the book by Bob Harrig, and I think you'll enjoy reading it, and I know I will, and we'll look forward to catching up with you in the future. So, as always, Bob, thank you so much. We've been doing this for a lot of years and hopefully a lot more. We appreciate the time. Take care of yourself.
Thanks, Bob. Appreciate you having me.
All right. He was just on Jim Rome today, you know.
Yeah, Brom was on just a second ago. Yeah, it was one of those things. Like,
I'm saying Bob Harrig was on Jim Rome.
Oh, he was?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, Jeff Brom was too. Yeah, that was going on.
Jeff Brom was not going to shed any light on the Masters, though.
No, I don't think he was.
No.
We should try to get him on, though. That'd be fun.
Who?
Jeff Brom.
Jeff, you watch any of the Masters? No, I have to coach.
Get him on, but don't ask him any football questions.
No. I always wanted to do
that.
I always wanted to
sandwich.
I didn't always want to get him on not as football questions, but I always wanted to have a segment called the Killer Crossover, and you talk with guys from one sport about another sport.
Oh, that'd be good.
Yeah, because like there's so many baseball fans. Like you could talk to Dickie V or Hubie Brown or Seth Greenberg or whoever. They love baseball.
Well, I think. Pat Kelsey's a Bengals fan. Right?
Oh, Reds and Bengals.
Yeah, yeah.
So we could bring him on for any of those.
But, yeah, that'd be
but
good.
I mean, but it's not like we have him on all the time. So if we got him on, we would be
probably talking actual.
If we didn't do some basketball conversation,
right?
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you should definitely do that. But it would be kind of fun to have him on and
killer crossover.
Ask him about the Reds.
Yeah,
that's a good idea, though. I like that.
What am I doing here? I said I was going to do... Oh, the NBA playoffs, how that works out. Because the seeding is in place. And I'm digging the fact that they made it more entertaining coming out of the chute. For the people who don't know, and it used to be eight teams made the playoffs. Eight played one, seven played two, six played three, four played five. Basically, that first round, unless it was the 4-5 series, sucked. It was boring after all that excitement to see who's in, who's out. And they said, that isn't good. We got to figure out a better way to do this. So they did. And the fact that the NBA is more balanced now than it was. So you've got this set up for tonight. To get the number 7 seed in the West, the West starts tomorrow. It'll be the Lakers, who finished 8th place, going to New Orleans, who finished in 7th place. That will be 7:30 on TNT. And the winner of that game will go into the playoffs as the number 7 seed. Golden State plays Sacramento. That's the Golden State just barely got in. They're the 10th place team. Sacramento's the 9th place team. Whoever wins that game goes and plays the loser of Lakers-New Orleans in another game coming up. And whoever wins that game then goes into the playoffs as the 8th seed. So the losers, that's the advantage. Of the 7 and 8th place teams, essentially it's double elimination for them. They got to lose twice to be out. 9th and 10th place teams, you get one crack at it. You lose, get your golf clubs out. You're going home. So it'll be the Lakers in New Orleans tonight. Winner goes in as the 7th seed. Loser takes on the winner of Golden State Sacramento. And then whoever wins that subsequent game goes into the playoffs as the 8th seed. In the East, Miami and Philadelphia. Miami is the 8th place team. Philly's the 7th place team. Winner will get the number 2 seed, New York Knicks, in that game, because the winner of that game will be the 7th seed. Loser will take on the winner of Atlanta and Chicago. Chicago is the 9th place team. Atlanta was the 10th place team. So whoever wins that game takes on the loser of Miami, Philadelphia. And then whoever wins that subsequent game goes into the playoffs as the 8th seed. So I'm digging the fact that you get yourself drama right out of the chute, man. Those teams, you know, you got to do something to advance. I'm not thoroughly convinced yet that the Lakers can't make a run. The Lakers getting in as the 8th seed, they would, if they were to win this game, they would then go in as the 7th seed in the playoffs, and they would play Denver, the defending champions. That might be a damned entertaining series. Denver and Oklahoma City finished dead tied at 57 wins. Tiebreaker went to Oklahoma City, so they get the 1 seed. Minnesota was just one game back with 56 wins. The Clippers at 51 wins. Then Dallas at 50 wins. So there are 5 50-win teams in the West. Phoenix at 49 wins got the 6 seed, and then I already told you about the 4 teams after that. In the East, Boston had the best record in the league by a wide margin. They had 64 wins. 7 better than Oklahoma City and Denver, and fully 14 games ahead of the second-place team in the East, the Knicks, who had 50 wins. They were the only 50-win teams in the East, Boston and New York. Milwaukee, third, finished a game behind the Knicks. Cleveland, the Donovan Mitchells, finished fourth with 48 wins. Orlando and Indianapolis at 47 wins. Indianapolis avoided having to play in the play-in round. They will open their playoff series, unfortunately for them, with Milwaukee. But I don't know how unfortunate that is. I'm not sure Milwaukee's scaring people anymore, but that's who they'll get in the opening round. Cleveland gets Orlando. Phoenix and Miami, winner gets the Knicks. Loser has to play the winner of Chicago, Atlanta, and then they would be the eighth seed and get Boston, who... it's their championship to lose, but I don't think anything is definitely carved in stone. Much more competitive landscape going on in basketball right now. Looking forward to the playoffs getting underway tomorrow, so we'll see. Now in hockey, for those 8 people of you who care about hockey,
yeah,
they still have regular season games that go through Thursday. Then the playoffs will begin after that. The New York Rangers are in the overall lead with 112 points. You get,
we don't want that,
2 points for a win, 1 point for an overtime loss. They're only 1 point ahead of Carolina in the Metropolitan, who's got 111 points. Boston, who scares the hell out of me, I think they're really good, they have 109. Florida's got 108. Toronto's got 102, but they always seem to pull the Dallas Cowboys in the playoffs, so we'll see if anything good happens to them this year. Those are the only teams in the East that have over 100 points. In the West,
what are you going to say? Tanner was going to say something. What are you going
to
say?
I really want the Rangers to win the President's Trophy so that I can sarcastically congratulate you guys.
Don't you do it. No, he's going to put the Milwaukee on us.
Milwaukee's already there. It's the President's Trophy curse.
That's what I'm saying. I don't want it. No, they need to lose all this week.
And then you guys can raise a regular season champions banner.
Hey.
It'd be so gorgeous.
Put a banner up. Damn right.
No.
The Predators did it, and they got backlash right away. That's the stupidest thing ever.
No, they touched the money. Dumb.
Well, you don't put the banner up till the next year.
Still.
I know, it was just the banner of Nashville Predators regular season champions, and everyone was like, you guys lost in the second round or first round.
We're the champions. Yeah, come on, man. There's more than one championship. Like in basketball, in college, there's a regular season champion, and then there's a tournament champion. Celebrate championships. Stop being so negative. Dallas is the overall best record in the West, 111 points. Congratulations to Jason Entz. Vancouver's next at 107. Winnipeg at 106, Colorado at 105, and Edmonton at 102, 5 teams with over 100 points. Good year for Canadian hockey, actually, because there are years where, and we'll see, once the playoffs start, they usually start dropping like flies. But the Canadian teams have not had a team in the Stanley Cup finals in forever, right?
Yeah.
They've been bad for a long time. Yeah. In fact, I'm not sure they had anybody in the
Canadians
final
were in the finals during COVID.
In the COVID year.
Yeah.
It
was an East team versus an East team, and I was like, this is so broken. I don't get what's going on.
But right now, the Canadian teams are Toronto. They're in as 102 points, like the fifth best team in the East. Ottawa is going to miss the playoffs. Montreal, sadly, that's sad. That's like the Yankees or the Knicks or the Lakers being bad. They shouldn't be bad. Montreal should never be bad, and they're the worst team in the Atlantic Division, one of the worst teams in the East. Elsewhere for the Canadian teams, that's it in the East. In the West, Winnipeg, hooray, 106 points. They're doing fine. They're in the playoffs. Vancouver, hooray, they have 107 points. They're in the playoffs. Edmonton, hooray, they're in the playoffs with 102 points. So they are doing well. Calgary missed the playoffs, and that's it. So the Canadian teams, Calgary out, Montreal out. And is that it? Did I miss anybody? All the other ones are in, right? Good for them. Oh, no, Ottawa out. Yeah, so there's 3 of them out. So still not a great year, but better than it's been. They've had some years where their teams were all just
bad.
They were really bad at hockey. So there you go. The Coyotes are moving to Salt Lake City, Utah?
Yeah.
Ooh, wow. They finally gave up on trying to play in Arizona.
No, that was Bettman's
dream.
That was Bettman, like he was like the only one that like wanted it to still work there, it seemed like.
I
feel
Gretzky to coach at one time, and then they built this arena that was an abject failure. It was supposed to bring all this business around the arena, and it failed. And now they've been playing this past year at like a 5,000-seat college arena somewhere.
Old arena.
But I thought they were building a new arena, but they're not.
Yeah.
They were supposed to try to, but
there was talk they were going
to
move it outside of the city, and then...
It sucks, too, because growing up, the Coyotes were like fun to watch.
Oh man,
like
Jeremy Roenick, Keith Tkachuk, and then the later years, Shane Doan.
The thing that's weird is when I did the Arizona game on radio for ESPN, I spent the extra night, couldn't get out, and so I had nothing to do. So I went and I saw the Phoenix something. It's a minor league hockey team.
Phoenix Roadrunners?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they had a big-ass crowd and a knowledgeable crowd, and they found their roots in, you know, that's where hockey started there, and it was only because the Coyotes came that they kind of pushed to the back burner, the Roadrunners. But
they were an IHL team.
Yeah.
And that's when the IHL was AA.5/AAA. So, yeah, they were legit.
So, I don't know. I guess they're going to be stuck with minor league hockey, which is better than no hockey like some cities have.
Yeah, but I feel
bad. Does anybody play around here anymore? Cincinnati, Indianapolis. We used to go see minor league games.
Cincinnati
all the time.
Has a team, the Cyclones.
They do? I thought the Cyclones was the indoor soccer team.
No. No, Cincinnati Cyclones are still in the ECHL. Fort Wayne Comets, they got a
Fort
team.
Fort Wayne, that's why you might as well drive to Florida.
Does Evansville still have a team? I don't think so.
Juniors team. That was like we had a scrimmage against them my freshman year here.
Oh, really? How'd you guys do?
Thunderbirds. We won. They didn't.
The Evansville Thunderbirds. They are still definitely playing.
The Evansville Thunderbirds?
Yes, they are. They play their next game is April 17th at the Ford Center. It's the playoffs. They're in the second round. It's the opening game of the second round. They won their first round.
Is this their juniors team or is this their minor league team?
I didn't know they existed until literally 45 seconds ago, so I have no idea.
Because Evansville did have a minor league team.
They're playing the Peoria Rivermen. I don't think it's a junior team.
No, that's minor league. Peoria Rivermen's a minor league team.
All right, so what else?
The Blues one, right?
Indianapolis have a hockey
I think so.
Team?
There used to be the Indy Fuel. I think they're still there.
What about the Indianapolis Ice?
No, the Indianapolis Ice was a USHL team, I believe, which is
Indy
the top
Fuel
junior team, but I don't think they have them
still
anymore.
In existence.
Yeah.
They're the proud affiliate of the hapless Chicago Blackhawks.
Are they an AHL team or an ECHL
Again,
team?
Why do you keep at, I know I discovered should, these should, teams 20 seconds
it
ago.
It should put it
Let
right
me give
there
you the whole history of this team. It was founded by Sam Schweinkenfelder, who made his money in dry cleaning. I don't know. I have no idea. But they made the playoffs. They're in the Kelly Cup. The Kelly Cup, isn't that ECHL?
That's ECHL, yeah.
They're in the ECHL. So they're in the playoffs, too. So everybody's having kick-ass hockey here.
My uncle played like 3 games for the Indianapolis Ice in the IHL
the
90s.
They were an IHL team, the Ice. And then I think they became a junior team, a USHL team.
I knew I was right. The Cincinnati Cyclone are the indoor soccer team. The hockey team is the Cincinnati Stingers.
No, it's not. Yeah, I think I'm almost positive you have that backwards. Trust me, it's the Cyclones.
Yeah.
You know, Cincinnati Singers, I only missed it by 30 years. They were the hockey team that played there in the 1960s.
Oops. You came in so confident, too. I almost feel bad.
No, you're wrong.
By 30 years.
I quickly
it's older than my
retreated.
Brother.
And my friend, you are correct. The Cincinnati Cyclones. Oh, they're done.
Yeah,
Cincinnati got shut out by Wheeling on the road April 13th.
Is it still the Wheeling Nailers?
Oh, they have the coolest logo.
Yeah, they do have a cool logo.
The Wheeling what?
Nailers. I remember that.
West Virginia.
No, that is their name, the Wheeling Nailers.
But why are they Nailers?
I have no idea, but they have
why is their logo cool? Is it a giant nail?
No, it's like an angry
Jason mask with two nails.
Sticking. It's kind of badass looking.
Cincinnati's out. Shut out. They're going home. They're playing golf. Evansville, hockey. Indianapolis, hockey. Cincinnati, getting ready for soccer.
In Louisville, you don't have
just
a hockey
watch
team.
It.
Hey,
that's
soccer, though. That's
everybody,
good.
I won't be here tomorrow because I have things.
You have to.
Another important place.
Things.
So I'll see you on Wednesday.
It'll be me and Leaps and Tanner.
Hooray.
And Phil.
Hooray.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.